This is the Cambridge English Proficiency Test 4. I am going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1.
Your adverts describe you as a small family-owned business, but some people are claiming that you have considerable financial backing.
Well, since my partner and I set up our business in 2006, we've operated totally independently. Yes, we're backed by an Indian company. That fact isn't difficult to find out with a few clicks of a mouse, but now we're self-financing and profitable. We had an ambition to make better quality tea more available in the UK. And our growth appears to back up our belief that tea drinkers want something better than the slop they've been used to. So, for those who are interested, we operate out of our own office in London. We now employ 8 people, and we're recruiting more as we speak. Every decision we've ever made has been made by us. No outside influence whatsoever. And believe it or not, we don't have mega budgets to spend, and quite frankly, we don't need them. We're thankful for our startup backing, but we're even more thankful for our independence. So if anyone fancies a tea and some chat, then please pop down and visit us. You'll be very welcome.
Your adverts describe you as a small family-owned business, but some people are claiming that you have considerable financial backing.
Well, since my partner and I set up our business in 2006, we've operated totally independently. Yes, we're backed by an Indian company. That fact isn't difficult to find out with a few clicks of a mouse, but now we're self-financing and profitable. We had an ambition to make better quality tea more available in the UK, and our growth appears to back up our belief that tea drinkers want something better than the slop they've been used to. So, for those who are interested, we operate out of our own office in London. We now employ 8 people, and we're recruiting more as we speak. Every decision we've ever made has been made by us. No outside influence whatsoever. And believe it or not, we don't have mega budgets to spend. And quite frankly, we don't need them. We're thankful for our startup backing, but we're even more thankful for our independence. So if anyone fancies a tea and some chat, then please pop down and visit us. You'll be very welcome.
Extract 2.
We're living in an age of systems in industrialized countries today. And the way that we work and we learn, the way that we communicate with each other, all these aspects of our lives are mediated by digital networks and systems. And why is that relevant for games? Because, in a certain sense, games are the cultural form of systems. To play a game against another player is to push and pull the inputs and outputs of a system. To actually try something out, to play with the machinery of cause and effect. And in that sense, games have a special relationship to systems. But I think that the games that let us play with each other in the most intimate way are board games. And maybe there's some part of our brains that really likes to be in a room with other people. From my own experience, I certainly love playing board games. And if I think about the most fun that I have in general playing games, it's actually not with computer and video games. It's actually with playing old-fashioned board games. We're living in an age of systems in industrialized countries today. And the way that we work and we learn, the way that we communicate with each other, all these aspects of our lives are mediated by digital networks and systems. And why is that relevant for games? Because, in a certain sense, games are the cultural form of systems. To play a game against another player is to push and pull the inputs and outputs of a system, to actually try something out, to play with the machinery of cause and effect. And in that sense, games have a special relationship to systems. But I think that the games that let us play with each other in the most intimate way are board games. And maybe there's some part of our brains that really likes to be in a room with other people. From my own experience, I certainly love playing board games. And if I think about the most fun that I have in general playing games, it's actually not with computer and video games. It's actually with playing old-fashioned board games.
Extract 3.
About 3 years ago, I made a discovery. Whether it's Mahatma Gandhi or Steve Jobs or Google, all the great leaders and organisations in the world think, act and communicate in the exact same way. And it's the complete opposite from everyone else. These leaders and these organisations all think, act and communicate from conviction, from their hearts. And if you talk about what you believe, you'll act as a magnet to those who believe what you believe. Why is it important to do this? Well, according to the theory of diffusion of innovations, the population's divided into groups. First, there's what's called the laggards, the ones who only buy ballpoint pens because shops no longer stock ink for fountain pens. Then there's the next group, who are a shade quicker to embrace new developments. Above them are what's known as the early adopters, and right at the top, you have the innovators. And it's these two groups that matter in business terms. If they believe in what you're doing, the others will follow, and your product will take off. About 3 years ago, I made a discovery. Whether it's Mahatma Gandhi or Steve Jobs or Google, all the great leaders and organisations in the world think, act and communicate in the exact same way. And it's the complete opposite from everyone else. These leaders and these organisations all think, act and communicate from conviction, from their hearts. And if you talk about what you believe, you'll act as a magnet to those who believe what you believe. Why is it important to do this? Well, according to the theory of diffusion of innovations, the population's divided into groups. First, there's what's called the laggards, the ones who only buy ballpoint pens because shops no longer stock ink for fountain pens. Then there's the next group, who are a shade quicker to embrace new developments. Above them are what's known as the early adopters, and right at the top, you have the innovators. And it's these two groups that matter in business terms. If they believe in what you're doing, the others will follow, and your product will take off.
That is the end of part 1.